It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, health and wellness, Dr. Douglas Howard is going to help us make it through this anxiety-riddled summer a little bit better. Kelsey Bowler is here to check in on the bright side of the news. We'll also talk the latest on the police with the NYPD's Ed Mullins, and also get a look at those Supreme Court cases with Carrie Severino.
Happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Chief Justice specifically speaks to the fact that the president is not above the law. And that was something that was proclaimed.
You know, for someone
in
who
decision.
For someone who sounded like she was taking a victory lap, that didn't sound very convincing by Nancy Pelosi today. The Supreme Court, in kind of a mixed bag, is what the media is going to tell you. It's a mixed bag for the president. Got struck down in one, got affirmed in another. Friends, don't believe the media. Don't believe the media. These cases today were wins for the president. Maybe not as thorough wins as he would like, but certainly nothing that impacts him in a significant way other than he continues to fight for the rights of the executive branch and for himself as an individual. Welcome into a very busy Thursday. We've got a ton of stuff to get to. The NYPD is going through massive problems. We're going to speak with Ed Mullins about this in one portion of the shows today. And we've also got a look at what's going on by way of your health and wellness, as we do every Thursday, but we're also going to zero in on some of the violence issues as well. We've got a lot to get to, but I first want to get to Carrie Severino, who I believe the last time she was with me, she was actually in my studio. But Carrie, I haven't even seen the inside of my own studio for 17 weeks, so it's a joy to have you back regardless. She's president of the Judicial Crisis Network, and my favorite part of her bio, former clerk to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Carrie, good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
So I was talking with Hugh Hewitt, former Justice Department member of the Reagan administration this morning, and he said, Kev, the shorthand of these cases are this: absolute win in the case against Congress for them trying to get the president's tax records. And in the first case, not a big deal. He just lives to fight another day. And at the end of the day, these records aren't going to be made public at all, even if they go to a grand jury before the election happens. What's your take from the view of what the Supreme Court handed down today?
Yeah, you know, I think that's just about right in both cases. And they both were, despite the fact that one gets described as a win, the other gets described as a loss, they were actually pretty similar. In neither case, they say no president ever has to turn over these kind of records. No, zero justices of the Supreme Court say that. But none of them also say automatically you do have to. They both, in both cases, both this congressional subpoena, and then also in the Manhattan District Attorney trying to get it during to the grand jury, they both say there are a lot of defenses the president can make. And basically, they're going to throw it back and say, now you can kind of make those defenses. So in the one in the congressional subpoena, it kind of the default is the president doesn't disclose things. And they've given Congress a chance to try to explain why they should. But it sounds like it's going to be really hard to do so. And in the New York case, they really do say there's a lot of support. There might even be other arguments the court didn't lay out, but it already gave a pretty clear guidelines for here's what you're going to argue at the federal courts, Mr. President, to explain why you shouldn't be distracted by these kind of subpoenas that appear to be harassment during your time in office.
Carrie, let me ask you this, because I think it's a fair question. We've had very few presidents that have come to the presidency as poor people. But we've certainly had very few that have come to the presidency as wealthy as Mr. Trump was when he took office. Now, his personal wealth has gone down. I think it's something like $8 billion since he's been in office, which is just an astounding sacrifice to make for one's country. But Do you see what District Attorney Vance is doing in the New York case as just pure cannon fodder, trying to take him down? And if so, did the court say in any way that this was an appropriate attack to go after a president? In other words, did they in any way pat Vance on the back and say, this is what you should be doing?
No, they didn't go there. And in fact, they outlined, as I said, they said you can't use the court as a method of harassing a president. You can't use it as a fishing expedition. You can't use your district attorney to try to implicate presidential policies, to try to impede the president's agenda. And I think all of those, there's a lot of really strong arguments.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the Manhattan district attorney is trying to do. So, in fact, I think they signaled that, you know, the court below needs to look at that. And they said, you absolutely have the right to take this to federal court. They basically said, you have to do this a different way. You don't get to say, I never have to answer these subpoenas, but you do have a defense in federal court. And I think that's one that the president ought to be able to make easily on the facts in this case, where it just seems pretty clear. This is a harassment type of litigation. This is not really something that, you know, they were pursuing in good faith, separate from the fact that he's the president and they're opposed to him.
Yeah. And it's, these have been overwhelming case decisions this court session. We've seen more 7-2s than I think we've seen in a long time. But we did see a difference in two similar cases in this court session. And I would like your thoughts on this. Ralph Reed mentioned it earlier today on Twitter. The Hobby Lobby case and the Little Sisters of the Poor case actually addressed very similar things. One was a commercial operation, one was nonprofit. But the decisions were 5-4 in the Hobby Lobby case and 7-2 in the Little Sisters case. And today, Joe Biden's out running around saying, well, if I'm elected, we're going to revisit that Hobby Lobby issue and we're going to get a different determination on that. Talk to me about what the distinctions were, and do you think Hobby Lobby would have been a 7-2 case if the Trump court had been the one hearing it?
Well, certainly that's a decent argument you could make. I mean, Gorsuch replaced, who is very strong in religious freedom, replaced Scalia, who is also, although not even as consistently strong in religious freedom. This court is really at a high watermark in the religious freedom area. And that was because, you know, this Little Sisters case wasn't the only big case decided this week. There were three major cases.
Right.
And a couple of them were these 7-2 cases. This court has been very strong on this issue. But I do think Biden is correct. His agenda and the agenda, well, really, the question is his agenda. It's the agenda of the people who are telling him what to do in his basement. Those people really want to attack this. They view religious freedom as an impeding their policy goals. And so I think you'd see a lot of people who want to see judges who are going to take a hatchet to the First Amendment and really minimize that. So I would take him at his word when he says we're going to try to get judges who will undo that. I think every reason to believe that is top on their agenda to cut down religious freedom.
Talk to me for a second about the Little Sisters case, because I'm thinking that if you cannot force Catholics to provide contraception to employees or to their organizations, that it should be very similar to not being able to, for instance, force Muslims to serve ham in their delis or to force Christians to perform gay marriage. Why isn't there an argument in the Little Sisters case that could eventually lead to not necessarily the overturning of Obergefell, but in at least impacting people's conscience freedoms as it relates to that issue?
Well, remember when the court considered Masterpiece Cake Shop, which was that very question,
right,
talking about whether you can force someone to bake a cake celebrating a marriage that they think violates their religious beliefs, the court did side in favor of religious freedom. And they, in fact, pointed out how biased and anti-religious bigots were on the Colorado Civil Rights Commission that was making.
But the funeral home case went a different direction. And I'm curious as to what the inconsistency there was.
Well, the funeral home case was not argued. This was the transgender case that
Correct.
Came down a few weeks ago. That was not argued based on religious freedom. And actually, I think they may go back and then argue it on those bases. What they said is, look, we don't even have to go there because there's not even a right in the first place under this federal law to be protected on the basis of transgender status in the first place, because the law didn't say that. Turns out, you know, six justices found a way to read it into the law. So now I think you could see them going back and saying, okay, now the court seems to think this is somehow protected by federal law, we at least do have a religious freedom countervailing right to say in this case this is a religious thing. So
right.
I think you are going to see a lot of further litigation, not just in that case, but unfortunately in a lot of other similar cases.
One thing has not changed, Carrie Severino, since this Supreme Court season went into session. That is just how important Supreme Court justices are. And I think that will shape the 2020 election cycle. Hey, we appreciate your analysis today. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We have sunny skies and 86 degrees now in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Accident number 2 of the afternoon on the FDR. This time it's the FDR north out at 79th Street. Center lane out on the north on FDR. Delays from the 20s right up to the 70s. Alternate side suspended, meters in effect. An accident on the Deegan northbound near 149th's been clear, but still very heavy delays on the Deegan southbound beginning right around West 230th. Deegan northbound heavy delays beginning right off the RFK Triborough Bridge. Inbound George okay. The outbound Lincoln is 20. The outbound Lincoln, that is going to be 40 minutes. Garden State Parkway okay north and southbound. 153 down to 125. Quickly back to Brooklyn, a car fire is still being wrapped up on the Belt Parkway eastbound or Pennsylvania Avenue. Delays in the thruway northbound in Rockland County from exit 10 to exit 13. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, right, Kevin McCullough. Every week we promise you you're going to get a question answered by Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan, the Tri-State's foremost authority on all things estate care and elder law. And Mike, this week's question comes from that famous person, Anonymous. The Anonymous says, my mother's will says she leaves everything in equal parts to me and my brother, but my brother murdered her. Does he still stand to inherit? Now, Mike, I'm guessing this normal application doesn't apply to a ton of people, but what's the actual legal answer here?
Well, we do see this come up every few years, probably about every 10 years. Technically, if you murder somebody, you cannot benefit from that murder and you cannot inherit. Now, the one thing that throws a kicker into it, if the, quote, murderer is acquitted, is not guilty by reason of insanity, they still may inherit.
So if they can convince the jury that they just were driven crazy and had to do it because they were crazy, then they're able to claim that inheritance still.
Yeah, and in our case, what may happen in our clients, it's possible that the, you know, let's say a husband has senile dementia and he does something that he's really not aware of what he's doing. And you know, and that's one thing people should be aware of. Sometimes when people suffer from Alzheimer's, their personalities change.
Right.
And even a frail person can do a lot of damage. If somebody's asleep or not looking for, you know, danger.
Yeah, not expecting it. Well, that has to be a very difficult thing to walk through. But, friends, I would think that if it applied to you, there would not be a better law firm to talk with about how to get the straight answer on it, as Mike Connors and company will give you. So call them today and have them evaluate your situation. 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And then don't forget, Mike answers a question every week here on Kevin McCullough Radio and answers a bunch more of them on his broadcast, Ask the Lawyer. That's Saturday mornings and Saturday evenings, Saturday mornings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6 on AM 570 The Mission and FM 102.3, and Sunday mornings starting at 11 on AM 970 The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or radio.com. Larry Elder leaves the mask issue to local governments.
Here's the deal. He's not doctor in chief. We have our own healthcare professional. We have our own people to whom we turn for advice. All the reason why it is perfectly rational and reasonable for, in our federalist structure of government, for the states and locality to determine what rules and regulations they're going to have. We need one rule. We need a stand. Really?
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7, right before Dan Proft at 9 on AM 970. The Answer. Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970. The Answer. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people.
All right, Kevin McCullough, there you go. That was the former vice president himself yesterday, and you hear it pretty much plain as day. They've become the enemy. What is exactly he communicating as we discuss that? Let's go forward. The president of the Sergeant Benevolence Association for the NYPD is Ed Mullins, and he rejoins us at Kevin McCullough Radio. President Mullins, I cannot believe that those words came out of his mouth. But when I saw the news reports breaking late yesterday, I had to go back and find the video for myself to make sure that it was what people said he said. But from the view of the person in uniform, how are people interpreting that today?
Well, there's a lot of shock that Joe Biden has taken that position. So I have a question for Joe Biden, which I'm going to guess he won't answer. But in 2014, he spoke at the funerals of two NYPD officers who were assassinated, Ramos and Liu. And in his speech, he said police officers and their families are a different breed. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. So, Joe Biden, were you lying to the people in 2014 or are you lying to them today just to get elected? Which one is it? Are we the enemy of the people or is it thank God for police officers? It seems very convenient for Joe Biden to make the statements right now in an anti-police atmosphere. But maybe people need to go back and look at his federal PACs and look at the legislation that he's been involved in and how much money he's accepted from police officers over the years and things he voted on, because he's now making statements that are beneficial to his own cause and not necessarily to the cause of the nation. And I think a lot of Americans need to question that.
President Mullins, let me ask you this. In light of the And I've spent a lot of time almost on a daily basis over the last 6 weeks talking about this. But basically, since the moment after George Floyd's death, when we were all unified and everybody was coming together to say this was a tragedy, and then the riots began. And from that point forward, there's now been over 600 murders in the country. You've got double digit shootings and deaths in most of the big cities each weekend. The thing that they all have in common is that they all happen to be beholden to one political party. And I'm just curious, are we suppressing the enthusiasm, the encouragement, the recruitment, the joy of telling our young people that public service in the uniform is an honorable thing and that they can serve their country and their community well by doing that? I heard yesterday that they're going to deny the next two classes of the academy here in New York City to slow down the number of officers that they're getting back on the streets. What does this do to the morale of your guys?
Well, the morale's at an all-time low. I mean, we have hundreds of people filing for retirement, so many filing for retirement that they had to limit the amount of people to be processed on a daily basis. By September of this year, there will be 4,000 NYPD officers who are eligible to retire. You know, this is a great job. I've been doing it 38 years. I've had a great run. It's a great city. But never in my 38 years have I seen this department in this city as bad as it is. And as great of a job as it is, to be fair to people, to be honest with the moms and the dads and the brothers and the sisters and the people that are out there who want to be police officers, I would encourage you to rethink that and not to take the job with the NYPD the way it is today. You are jeopardizing your own freedoms, your own safety, your own well-being. And the only way this is going to change is when the silent majority stands up against these elected officials who are creating these laws for chaos and tying the hands of the police that are trying to protect the city and who will back you. When that changes, then I would say this is a great job to have to be a part of the NYPD. But until then, I don't encourage you to take this job. It would be unfair for me to sit here and encourage people to do it when I would not want my own children to do it.
That's an astounding admission from the head of the Sergeant Benevolence Association. We're speaking with Ed Mullins, Kevin McCullough Radio. He just said it as plain as day. Now is not the time to go to work for the NYPD. And Sergeant, you know very well that other people that are not potential academy students or aspiring officers are also listening. What's the message of the average New Yorker right now about the safety of our city?
They need to get vocal. They need to hold the mayor, Corey Johnson, and the governor and the city council members accountable. The police, if you look up the statistics, the police are not the enemy of the people the way Joe Biden is saying.
Oh, I know that.
We are not. We have saved more lives, more black lives than the organization itself has or than all the elected officials in the state of New York combined have. And you really have to let the people speak. Is policing a perfect job? No, it's not. Do we have our problems? Yes, we do, and we can do things better. But to paint everyone with the same brush would be the equivalent of us painting every surgeon in the country with the same brush who lost a patient. I mean, that's insanity to do something like that. You have to look at the facts. You have to look at the amount of encounters that the police have on a daily basis with the public who have positive encounters, not just the individual who gets killed. We are not out killing people the way people believe we are. The news media is sending the wrong message, and our politicians are lacking the courage to stand up and tell the truth because they're afraid that the dialogue that exists right now will prevent them from getting reelected.
That's so true.
They are foregoing the values of the city, the state, and the nation for their own selfish needs. And it's the American people who are going to lose if this thing doesn't correct itself. Well, you can quote me on it, date me on it, but we will see 5 years from now that Ed Mullins is right in what he's saying if it continues this way.
I don't think there's any way that you can't be President Mullins. In fact, let me just point out something that Mr. Mullins just said, friends, as you're listening. He said that the NYPD has saved more black lives than Black Lives Matter. When you consider that within 3 weeks of George Floyd's murder, that there were 24 murders or deaths that took place in the midst of the riots and violence. Most of those African Americans, those were Black Lives Matter's collateral damage, if you will, at minimum, some of them directly. But since that time, 600 murders nationwide. And you're also talking about in 2019, more than 50,000 police organizations across the country and they're policing a country of 330 million residents. Only 56 times did those 50,000 police organizations use lethal force against someone who was unarmed. And in only 15 of those 56 times, again, out of 330 citizens, only 15 times out of 50,000 police organizations did an African-American lose their life. 25 white people did over that same time. His point is spot on, and it's absolutely true.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Sergeant, we always appreciate your time, and thank you for all that you're doing to, obviously support the men in blue. Thank you for telling the truth to my audience, and keep speaking it, sir. It's the only way we're going to get change in this city, and we have to.
Thank you, and I agree. Thank you for all you do, and I appreciate your voice for law enforcement.
All right. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Stay with us.
This Saturday morning from 10 to noon, Douglas Elliman's CEO Dottie Herman and the best team in real estate radio will be answering your real estate questions live. No issue is too challenging or goes unanswered. It's Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. That's 866-970-9622 this Saturday morning starting at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 2, God says, "Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you." In the midst of a pandemic, we've rediscovered a world that's hungry for truth, for the gospel. As Christians, we're called to run with God's banner for all to see. At ChristianAuthors.com, we're linking arms with believers like you. If you have a testimony to share, go to ChristianAuthors.com. It's time to put pen to paper. Let us help you get your story published. Go to ChristianAuthors.com today.
Hey, you have to see Larry Elder's new movie, Uncle Tom. The people in this movie share three things in common. They're courageous, they have had a life-changing experience, and they are black Americans. Conservatives, even. These are the voices of the movie, Uncle Tom. See it now at UncleTom.com. It's a story of hope and redemption. UncleTom.com.
Take AM 970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970 The Answer.
Sunny skies, 86 degrees in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. House arrest is over for President Trump's former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, back behind bars just 2 months after being released from a New York prison for coronavirus concerns. Cohen was recently seen at a restaurant, and that's a violation of home confinement. Joe Biden says President Trump is only focused on the stock market during the economic recovery. Speaking earlier this afternoon in Pennsylvania, Biden said if elected, he will focus on working families. Even on a bad day for the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500, the tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite Index keeps chugging along. At the closing bell, the Dow was up over 350 points, the S&P dropped 18 points, and the NASDAQ gained 55 points. The search for an actress from the TV show Glee, now a recovery mission. Police believe Naya Rivera drowned in a Southern California lake yesterday while swimming. Her 4-year-old son was found on the rented boat. Political correctness, here we go. Scrabble is removing racial and ethnic slurs from its official word list for tournaments. The North American Scrabble Players Association, or I guess you could call it NASPA, made the decision after polling its members. Checking traffic, alternate side suspended meters in effect. Accident cleared off the Deegan northbound at 149th Street. Second accident of the day on the FDR. This on the FDR northbound at 79th Street in the center lane. Into the city, you're fine. Outbound Lincoln, 20. Outbound Holland, 40. An accident just in on 280 East when it exits 14. That takes out the left lane. By the way, if you're headed down the shore, the Parkway southbound looks fine through Monmouth and Ocean County. Thruway northbound delays in Rockland, exit 10 to 13. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, maybe a stray shower, 75 in the city. Friday, rain and 80. Now you know what's going on. I'm Susie Cerone on AM 970, The Answer.
Larry Elder, the sage from South Central. Tonight at 7 on AM 970, The Answer.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Always glad to have you with us, and always glad to enjoy the expertise of people like Sergeant Mullins and the NYPD SBA. They are doing a great job of trying to keep the men in uniform encouraged. It's just doggone hard these days, because when you look at the numbers and you look at the statistics, it's not difficult to understand why the NYPD, and we haven't really talked about this in depth yet, but the NYPD has increased the number of people retiring 411% from this time 1 year ago. Same time period, apples to apples comparison, 411% in terms of early retirement that are being applied for. And as you were, if you were listening to this hour yesterday, you heard for the first time that the mayor has declined the right of the police academy to graduate its two next successive classes, hence slowing the number of cops that will be coming to the job for at least a full calendar year. So what do you make of all this? Let's talk about this with our next guest. She is a senior policy analyst and strategist for the Independent Women's Forum. And she also is a contributor in a number of places, including the Daily Signal, the Federalist, and of course, Kevin McCullough Radio. Her name is Kelsey Bowler. Follow her on Twitter at Kelsey Bowler. You'll get a lot of information from her Twitter feed for sure. But she also edits one of the Bright emails each week, normally Thursday, but this week it ran on Wednesday. Kelsey, good to have you back. I was very touched by your writing about the violent crime wave. I never expect any of my guests to have read my piece in Town Hall on Sunday, but I covered it from a slightly different perspective. We've had 6 weeks to the day since George Floyd's murder. And in six different cities, I tracked the double-digit killings and shootings. And we've had, across the country, 600 murders in those 6 weeks. And I'm just curious, as you were putting your piece together and you're talking about these children in particular that are being hit, what are your thoughts?
Kevin, it was really a tragic 4th of July weekend for a lot of families and, unfortunately, a lot of Black families. There were at least half a dozen children, some as young as 6, 7, 8 years old, who were accidentally shot as a result of this gun violence that is breaking out in a lot of these Democrat-controlled cities. Seeing the faces of these children really just broke my heart. I'll say, you know, I became a mom 10 months ago for the first time, and it definitely hit me differently, imagining losing my child to something like this. Yeah. And I can't help but wonder why these children aren't the faces of Black Lives Matter, because their lives matter. They are so innocent, and for their lives to be taken away at a time when law enforcement is struggling to have any sort of law and order in our cities is just tragic. And it really, nobody should tolerate the idea that we're going to have less law enforcement, not more, when not just innocent Americans are dying, but innocent baby girl and boys. It's just awful.
Well, and Kelsey, I want you to, we didn't talk about it before we went on the air, but did you hear the soundbite of Joe Biden yesterday proclaiming that the police are now the enemy?
Yeah, I really want to know, what is the Democrat answer to this? They don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about the Black lives that have been lost due to police force. And absolutely, we should talk about those. We have talked about those. But there is a bigger problem that is actually taking away more Black lives than inappropriate use of police force. And that is gun violence that's breaking out in these cities. And of course, you know, what's contributing to these? Gangs, coronavirus. Democrat politicians are letting out a lot of criminals from jail early. And these protests that are going on, that we have politicians now who are excusing violence. One thing is leading to another, and innocent people are dying. And what is Joe Biden's response? That is the question. And I really am curious to see what happens on the debate stage when he finally has to face tough questions from both the media and President Trump about what he would do regarding the violence that's breaking out across our United States.
Well, something very interesting happened in our city 30 years ago when a similar crime wave was overtaking the city, and a young prosecutor named Mayor Rudy Giuliani ran for mayor, and he ran on a tough on crime, we'll get your city back under control kind of idea. And I'm almost thinking that that is the very state where the entire nation is at now, and that I cannot help but think that these Democrat mayors that have encouraged this vandalism, these acts of violence, these murders across the country, are just, I think you're waking up everyday people that are saying, this is not the kind of country I want to live in. And so we'll see. I think it's not certainly going to help him going into the fall, but that's another issue altogether. Kelsey, always appreciate your time. Thank you today for your analysis.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, when we come back, a check of health and wellness, like we need some on this Thursday. Stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you're feeling run down and you don't have the energy that you used to, it's probably because you're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. Now more than ever, it's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in capsule form. The best defense against any virus is your own immune system. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins that are made with synthetics. It's just natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and vegetables. A daily dose of Balance of Nature capsule has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and veggies. Strengthen your immune system today. Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to a stronger immune system and overall better health today by calling 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. By going to balanceofnature.com, and make sure to receive this special rating offer by using the discount code The Answer.
Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
My very special guest is Robert Mahoney. He is a journalist and a fighter for press freedom. Your organization to protect journalists, what is it that you're actually doing, and what can we do better?
This was an organization that was set up by journalists concerned that no one was doing anything for journalists who had no protections. And so they started writing letters to the president of the country or whoever it was attacking those journalists. And they managed to convince a number of high-profile U.S. journalists. They got Walter Cronkite. And the founders say it was the power of the letterhead that really made a difference. We function like a news agency, but we focus on a narrow area of attacks on journalists and press freedom violations.
It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday nights at 7 on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com. Let's face it, we love Alexa, and we love to let her find your favorite radio station. This one, of course. We love it, too, when she finds us. But she could find us easier if we taught her a simple skill. To get started, simply say, Alexa, enable the Answer New York skill. After she confirms, you can then say, Alexa, play the Answer New York. That's all you have to do, and Alexa will learn how to find us. You can listen to us through your Amazon Echo, Echo Show, Echo Dot, and Amazon Tap devices. Alexa, what is your favorite radio station?
That's easy. AM 970, The Answer.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. When it's time to eat, there's nothing more comforting than comfort food you don't have to cook. So get a $20 fillet from KFC. Choose from 8 pieces of original recipe, extra crispy chicken, or 12 tenders. It comes with all the fixings to feed your whole family. Order ahead at KFC.com. KFC drive-thrus are still open. Or stay in and get contactless delivery by Grubhub. With buckets of love, Colonel Sanders. Limited time only at participating locations only. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra. Delivery service and additional fees apply.
Hi, I'm Valerie Smaldone, and my show Bagels and Broadway airs every Saturday morning at 9. This Saturday, meet Nick Cordero's understudy, who started a petition to rename a theater after him. A producer reminisces about his father, who wrote for Carl Reiner. A popular artist known for his whimsical drawings is now making face masks. And find out about a vertical hydroponic farm that exists under a building in Soho. All on this week's Bagels and Broadway with me, Valerie Smaldone, Saturday morning at 9.
Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at am970theanswer.com. If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
It's a false narrative to take comfort in a lower rate of death. There's so many other things that are very dangerous and bad about this virus. Don't get yourself into false complacency.
That's Anthony Fauci. And I've really had enough of Dr. Fauci. I wish he would just kindly just step off the public stage. It's beyond annoying now. No, Dr. Fauci, we're not going to stop looking at mortality, because mortality is one of the rationales for why we should be doing certain things to help keep people safe. And, you know, just because it doesn't fit the narrative of having many, many more people test positive for the virus and the mortality rates going down, just because that's not convenient for the narrative that you've put forward or the CDC has put forward, that doesn't mean that we should ignore it. So don't tell me to ignore something that's as plain as the nose on my face. I'm sorry, I'm not that stupid. I'm not that smart, but I'm not that dumb. Anyway, welcome. It's the Thursday edition. We talk health and wellness in this segment. Dr. Douglas Howard rejoins us. He is the innovator of the fruits and veggies that power me, my body, my brain, this segment, this show. And I'm proud to say that he keeps me very, very well these days. I haven't had a sniffle in years, thanks to fruits and veggies. But Dr. Douglas Howard, welcome back. So there he is saying, don't look at the death rates. The death rates are going down, but you shouldn't be lulled into a false complacency because deaths are at record lows since the outbreak. Meanwhile, positive tests have gone through the roof. Doc, your response.
This is where I hate that science or empirical science becomes political science. They're just, anybody with any logic, please just look at this and go, they're just covering their butts now, and they're trying to cover their mighty dollar because certain people are highly invested into this immunization. If they can't keep people in the hysteria, who's going to want to take their multi-billion dollar immunization at the end of this? They've already said that. In fact, 2 weeks ago, they started saying, you know, we're only going to be able to get this maybe to 70% success. And if we can only get it to 70% success, we're also going to have a problem because now 30% of the people say they're unwilling to take the vaccine when we get it. And on top of that, you know, so then he's using that for the case of, so we're still going to have to quarantine everybody. This is just political science. Just stop it. Give us real numbers. What did they use for the mass hysteria in the first place? You're going to die.
And it was the death numbers. It was the daily death rates, yeah.
And they were using everything. I can give you case after case of actual cases in hospitals that I know that people are being, that their deaths are, their death certificates are coming back. These are people and patients I know that their death certificates are coming back with coronavirus, and the family's going back and going, wait, my daughter's had these seizures her whole life and they've been severe, and we've always been told she wouldn't live to 18. She's 17 and she died of coronavirus. There was nothing to do with coronavirus.
Right.
And I can go on and on with these. Anyways, they used these numbers to build it up, to give us the fear. And now they don't have the numbers to steal from anymore. And so they're going, oh, don't let that worry you. It's not about death. It's just about these asymptomatic positive tests. And it's like, come on, we're not that stupid.
Well, let's talk about the mask debate, because I that's one of the hot subjects right now. In fact, there's even schools now trying to figure out if they're going to send kids back in the fall. Do you require the kids to wear masks? And I'm like, guys, what the data says is that the kids aren't all that vulnerable to it. But, Doc, what do you say?
Well, there are two things. They're not that vulnerable. The amount of deaths in children is nothing. And so even with that, okay, in going back to this, the vulnerability is low and the death rate is next to zero. There's more deaths from the flu in children than there is from COVID-19.
Yeah.
And so as we go, I will agree with it. I'm true. It is true. We need herd immunity. But they stopped this through their political science. And so they stopped the herd immunity. That we're actually getting herd immunity. People have been, this has already been going on. And instead of trying to fight nature, instead of trying to fight science, let's go through the process now. You remember that we were just gonna flatten the curve? Well, I have to admit, we did flatten the curve. I don't know that it was necessary or not, but we did flatten the curve. The hospitals weren't full like they said. We didn't have to have the hundreds of thousands of respirators they were talking about. Nobody turned into a zombie. All of this, I'm sorry I said that, but that's how they made people feel.
Right.
And so let's go back to this. We've never in the history of the world have we isolated, put in quarantine everybody, the well and the sick and everybody. It's always been you quarantine the sick, you quarantine the weak, and you let the rest of them go out and build this herd immunity that we all hear about without getting any major problems, and then we can overcome this. And even going back to school and with the children, this herd immunity is very important. And so if you have a child that is immunosuppressed in some way, then I would absolutely not send them back to school with a mask or without a mask.
Well, the truth is, Doc, if they're immunosuppressed, you may not have sent them to school if COVID-19 hadn't been here to begin with, because there are other agents out there that are just as deadly to the immunosuppressed as COVID-19.
Well, and you notice they're already prepping us. China's already put out that there's a new swine flu that's going to be out in January. Have you seen that?
It's right on schedule, huh? They're timing
it. They're already prepping us for it.
We're going to release it on January 7th.
Yeah. I mean, they're already talking the dates that it's going to be coming through. They've already identified it.
The truth is, friends, the best way you can get your kids ready for this fall is to make sure their immune systems are at peak operating conditions, which is why they should be on fruits and veggies just like you. And if you call today and talk to the health coaches at Balance of Nature, they're going to give you a special, there's special programs. If you're a pregnant mom and you want to get your kids started even while in utero, talk to them about it. There's all kinds of different ways to get your family on Balance of Nature. You just need to call and talk to them and get their immune systems going. Doc, final word.
Yes, I do want to clarify something. I understand that there can be serious problems with COVID-19. I am not denying that. What I am saying is, please, let's take this back to science, pull it out of the political science arena. It's probably almost impossible for us to get all real data, but I'm not saying that disease isn't real.
Yeah, no.
What I am saying is, please, let's get back to reality.
800-246-8751, 800-246-8751, and get started today. Doc Howard, thanks so much.
In an era where it's tough to know which news outlet to trust. At a time where it's difficult to find facts, not just opinion. There is an oasis in the news desert. It's the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis, the personification of the American dream, who built a multi-billion dollar business empire, talks with some of the nation's top newsmakers every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. You won't just hear partisan spin. You'll hear directly from the newsmakers who are shaping the news cycle in the city, the country, and the world. On the Katz Roundtable, you won't just hear about politics. You'll hear about science, business, education, animal rights, and any other topics that you're interested in. Catch the Katz Roundtable every Sunday morning starting at 8:30 on AM 970. The Answer.
Could your Remington rifle fire on its own? It's a danger that could be affecting hundreds of thousands of them. This weekend on Champions of Justice, Tom Girardi gets the scoop on the story with Arthur Bryant, the chairman of Public Justice, America's public interest law firm. And what unfair requirement could keep you from getting medical care? You'll be shocked. Tune in, Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10 here on AM 970, The Answer.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
In the 2016 race for president, Donald Trump was not the first choice for many Christian voters. His personal history made it unimaginable that he would defend Christian values as president, or so we thought. In his new book, For God and Country, The Christian Case for Trump, Dr. Ralph Reed shows that President Trump has kept his promises and been the most effective presidential defender of religious liberty and the pro-life cause since Reagan. It's required reading in 2020. For God and Country, the new book by Ralph Reed, available wherever books are sold.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Welcome back. Final few seconds with you today. I don't know if you saw the news article. It was in the New York Post early this morning. But there's a brand new report that's out that takes on this idea about how many patients the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, took and placed directly in nursing homes that were COVID-19 positive. In fact, according to the tri-authored piece in the New York Post, the new accounting is a total of 6,300 COVID-19 positives were sent to New York nursing homes across the state. Now, I want you to consider these competing truths. Out of 330 million citizens of the United States, and of the millions of infections that have turned up positive, we are so far 0.04% of the population that has died of COVID-19 or died with COVID-19, because they're counting, even if you died in a car accident but you were COVID positive, they're counting that as a COVID death. So 0.04% of 330 million, so far less than 1%. We have the lowest mortality rate of the known world, and we have more positives than anyone else in the known world. So 0.04% of the population died with COVID in their system. 42% of the deaths across America that were COVID positive came from nursing homes. And Governor Cuomo and Governor Murphy overwhelmingly sent the most number of COVID positive people to nursing homes of all the states combined. I just think it's important to point out those facts. Now, there's one other thing I want you to point out. The USS Comfort, which was the Navy hospital ship that was sent, and the Javits Center beds, those two facilities were both military staffed. That meant that if Cuomo had sent patients there instead of to nursing homes, which they had more than enough room for, that there would have been patient money that would not have come to the state of New York or to Cuomo. Those sites sat empty. He chose to send COVID-19 patients to the nursing homes and got the feds out so that more dollars could come back to New York. He chose money over lives. I'm Kevin McCullough.